Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning. Whoa.
Mary Lou.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm having a little trouble with both the WebEx and the phone.
Up and come back in. It's so noisy line.
I'm gonna try
my other line, Ruth. Back. You there?
Yes, more or less, I guess. I'm going to try switching to my other phone.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
you sound
good now. I'm going to go off and come on myself. Okay.
Okay. All righty. Wow, is anybody here? Oh, Ruth's not on the...
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Monty?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, morning. That kind of a noisy line. I hung up and came back in. And are you gone?
Oh, this is Doug. I'm on
the phone. Hi, Doug.
I can't get on the web, though, for some reason.
Yeah, Ruth said she's having trouble as well. It says the host has not joined the meeting. I'm the only one showing up on the screen.
Okay, I'll try in a minute. I'll go get my tea now, I guess, while that's happening.
Alrighty. Okay. Get on.
There's a new deal this morning on the web. Did you see it when you came on?
No.
Yeah, mine came up totally different, and I had to type in the name Williams at search, and then it showed a list of calls that are for the week, and then I had to click on join from there because it took me to a total different.
Oh, yeah, it did. I just went up to the little bar up at the top that said meeting schedule and found it. And clicked on it. Okay, I see you're there now. Good morning, who's joining us?
This is Ruth, I'm back on.
Okay, Ruth. Are you putting up the slides?
I'm trying.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. We'd like to try to get started here. This is Mary Lou, and we want to welcome you to the Health Style Call. I don't have our mission written out, but we're here to help people take charge of their health, and we're here daily, and we have a different host each day. And so... we want to, that's very noisy. We're here to help and support people take charge of their one and only life. And so, as I said, we cover a lot of different materials on this call. On Monday, do we have any new people on the line today? Have any new people? If you are, would you please speak up, even if you're just on the phone? Okay, well then, I think today it sounds like I will be preaching to the choir. So usually on Monday we go over our basics, but I think everybody on the call knows our basics. Just making sure that we drink plenty of pine egg water and get a good night's sleep, and that we do some form of exercise every day, and take our nutritional journal, how it is we're feeling, and then eating healthy meals. And we found out on this call that, we have to listen to our own body. Some of us, can eat a little more protein. Some have to eat a little less. Some people can handle carbs. Some people can't. So the important thing is that's why the journaling is so important there, so that we can figure out what is right for our body. And like I said, we are here to support one another. We're having a little trouble, I think, getting our slides up this morning. Actually, a little WebEx is being a little stubborn today.
Sorry.
I said that I was going to talk about sleep today. Did a lot of research on it and didn't really come up with a whole bunch of different things other than the fact that it is, that sleep is very, very important. And I was, I'm a little sleep deprived myself this morning. I get a little anxious when I'm doing the call here. So, but I did find an article that some common weight loss advice would be to get more sleep. And, you know, those of us in Nikan, we've not necessarily, we need more than more sleep. We need to make sure that we're getting good restorative deep sleep. So in this study, it said that the common weight loss advice should be to get more sleep. It should figure as prominently as eat less and move more. And these are two researchers in Canada. This came out in September of this year. It says there is a strong evidence that the lack of sleep is contributing to the obesity epidemic. They said, and the factors that contribute to obesity that have been given less attention than diet and exercise may at least partly explain why weight loss efforts are failing, according to researchers. Among the behavior factors that have been shown to impede weight loss, insufficient sleep is gaining attention and this was written up in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, September 17th. And these researchers are pointing to a 2010 study in which participants were randomly assigned to sleep either 5.5 hours or 8.5 hours every night for 14 days. They all cut their daily calorie intake by 680 calories, and they slept in a lab. And participants who slept for 5.5 hours lost 55%. That's 55% less body fat. But listen to this. They lost 60% more of their lean muscle mass than those who slept longer. Now, that kind of blew me away. In other words, the sleep-deprived people held on to their fat tissue and instead lost muscle. Yikes.
That's not good.
That is not good at all. Huh. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? Other than that's not good.
Makes me feel like a blob.
Well, you know, makes you feel like a blob. You're sleeping better. You know, the whole thing is, we've talked a lot about sleep and some of the things that, you know, we need to do to get better sleep. So I'm going to cover a little more of that article. But this thing here, this study, just absolutely blew me. Now, we've got some late people joining us. Hi, who's come on?
Donna.
Oh, hi, Donna.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. Did you just get to hear what we just said about the sleep-deprived people and how the people who didn't get enough sleep lost 55% less body fat and 60% more lean muscle mass than the people?
I believe it.
Isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm.
So sleep-deprived people held on to the fat tissue and instead lost muscle. And now look at what's our heart, the muscle. So that, I thought, was very, very scary.
That's why people who have sleep apnea, if they get on a CPAP machine, they'll start losing weight because they're getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. And they had another researcher, they looked at 245 women in a six-month weight loss program and found that those who slept more than 7 hours a night and those who reported better quality sleep were 33% more likely to succeed in their weight loss efforts. They looked at also a study that included 600 635,000 people around the world and found that adults who didn't get enough sleep were 50% more likely to be obese, and children who didn't get enough sleep were 90% more likely to be obese compared to those who got more sleep. I know some thin people who... Okay, who was going to talk?
Mary Lou, I was going to say, you know, when I don't get enough sleep, I eat to stay awake. You know, I don't know if it's because if just because I'm sleeping, but also when I'm trying to get something done, that's what I just eat all the time, just to stay awake. Or when I drive, I eat a lot. I used to eat more when I drove than I did any other time.
Well, that came into these studies as well. Exactly what Ruth was just saying. Yes, Doug.
Are all these studies from that Canadian journal?
Pardon me?
Are these different studies, or are these all from the Canadian researchers?
This just happens to be the article that I came across, and these researchers are talking about this editorial Canadian Medical Association Journal.
What was the name of the journal again?
Canadian Medical Association Journal.
Okay. So they're just they're just referring to all these studies.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I get it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and I've often thought, well, gee, you know, I know some thin people that don't sleep. But then when I read that part where it said that they're losing muscle instead of, you know, fat tissue. So, you know, well, I suppose if they're exercising a lot, they're going to be building muscle as well.
Mary Lou, that makes...
Uh-huh.
Oh, is this Mary Lou? That makes so much sense, because when you have sleep apnea, if you don't use a CPAP machine, it can lead to heart disease.
That's
that
right.
Makes sense.
It says people's success in weight loss programs varied, including advice about sleep and weight loss programs could improve success rates. Let's see, we've got it. We encourage everybody to get their good night's sleep. It says, while the exact way that losing sleep may contribute to obesity is not understood, studies have shown that the lack of sleep affects the part of the brain that control pleasure eating. And it's also been shown that levels of the hormones leptin, I think this other one is ghrelin, G-H-R-E-L-I-N, cortisol, and orexin, all of which are involved in appetite or eating, and they are affected by the lack of sleep. So, you know, of all the things that I was reading, what Ruth said, you know, she'll grab things. She's got something she needs to get done. She's getting tired, or she's driving. You know, she'll grab things to eat, and that's what all of these different articles that I looked up, they all said that's what we do. But then the fact too that the lack of sleep is affecting those part of the brain. I didn't know that the sleep was affecting that cortisol, and we're all hearing a lot about, you know, cortisol, and that's why so many people are having a problem with the weight, especially around their in their midsection. It says healthcare providers, and this is what Donna just mentioned, healthcare providers might be able to help their overweight and obese patients by screening for sleep disorders. And it says that some people may not even know that they have a sleep disorder. It says future research should look at ways that people could get more sleep, for example, by decreasing the amount of time they spend on other activities, such as watching TV in the evening, sitting in front of that computer, and see whether getting more sleep affects their weight loss efforts. Successful weight management is complicated, and a good understanding of the root causes of weight gain and barriers to weight management is essential to success. So while getting more sleep is not the solution for everyone who's struggling to lose weight, an accumulating body of evidence suggests that sleeping habits should not be overlooked when prescribing any kind of a weight reduction program to a patient with obesity. So, anybody have anything they want to say about that?
Well, yeah, Mary Lou, I'd like to talk just about, I think a lot of people don't realize they have sleep problems. And I know before I was diagnosed as having sleep apnea, one of the things that I guess made me start to really wonder if I had a problem was I live in Olympia and used to drive to Tacoma quite a bit for meetings or relatives or whatever. But I noticed that on my way to Tacoma that I would almost doze off about three times and catch myself almost, you know, not being aware of what I basically was doing by just kind of dozing off. And then I realized that the reason my body was doing that after I talked to my doctor, respiratory doctor, that the main reason was that I just wasn't getting the proper sleep, and that's when he went ahead and had me tested for sleep apnea, and that's when they found out that I really had a real problem with sleep apnea. But it was the dozing off, and I used to kind of do what Ruth did. I either had to either listen to the radio on pretty large sound, or eat, particularly if I took like a trip to California or to Oregon or whatever, I would have to almost continue to eat in order to keep myself awake. But that was one of the signs, was my dozing off and driving down the road, which alerted me to a problem.
That's right. Thank you, Marty. It said, another article that I had found from the web doctor, it says that losing weight while you sleep, can more sleep really help us control our weight? And three top experts explore those possibilities. They've talked a bit about, you know, these hormones again, with this leptin and GHRELIN. I meant to look that up and see if that GH is like the word enough, if it's actually an F sound. But anyway, it says it works in a kind of checks and balance system to control our feelings of hunger and fullness. And a faculty member of the Atlantic School of Sleep Medicine and director of the Sleep Disorder Centers in Atlanta, this ghrelin, which is produced in the gastrointestinal tract. So this one hormone is produced in the gastrointestinal tract, and it stimulates our appetite. And leptin is produced in our fat cells and sends a signal to our brain when we're full. So what's the connection to sleep? Well, when you don't get enough sleep, it drives the leptin levels down, which means you don't feel as satisfied after you eat. Lack of sleep also causes the ghrelin levels to rise, which means your appetite is stimulated, so you want more food. The two combined, he says, can set the stage for overeating, which in turn could lead to weight gain. But he says that those who sleep less often weigh more. Now, these are some studies that came out of the University of Chicago and Stanford University. And they talk about how the hormones, leptin and ghrelin, set the stage for overeating. And in the Chicago studies, doctors measured levels of leptin and ghrelin in 12 healthy men. They also noted their hunger and appetite levels. Soon after, the men were subjected to 2 days of sleep deprivation, followed by 2 days of extended sleep. And during this time, doctors continued to monitor those hormone levels, their appetite, and their activity. And the end result was that when the sleep was restricted, the leptin levels went down and these ghrelin levels went up. Not surprisingly, the men's appetites also increased proportionately. Their desire for high carbohydrate, calorie-dense food increased by a whopping 45%. So maybe, I know Ruth is, when she is grabbing things to stay awake, she's grabbing healthy things like almonds.
Right.
But even too many almonds, I could get too many almonds, even though they're a good fat. The Stanford study However, the more provocative meaning of the leptin-grunin effect came in light, and in this research, a joint project between Stanford and the University of Wisconsin had about 1,000 volunteers report that the number of hours they slept, they reported the number of hours they slept each night, and then the doctors measured their levels of these two hormones, the ghrelin and the leptin, as well as charted their weight. And those who slept less than 8 hours a night not only had lower levels of leptin and higher levels of this ghrelin, but they also had a higher level of body fat. So what's more, that level of body fat seemed to correlate with their sleep patterns. Specifically, those who slept the fewest hours per night weighed the most. So, and it goes back to that other Ontario, or that other study that was done in Canada that says that we lose people that are sleep deprived hang on to fat tissue and lose muscle. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? Okay. So on our screen we've got our wonderful Nikon sleep mask. I'm glad Ruth put that up because I've talked about this article before, how that night light, having a night light in your room can lead to depression. And this article came out the end of August, and it said to move over seasonal affective disorder, the depressive condition lacked by lack of light during long winters, and make way for a new form of depression caused by too much exposure to light. According to researchers at Ohio State Medical Center, it's not a good thing to have a light exposure when you're sleeping, not any at all. That means no night lights, no blinking electronic devices, no television on to sleep with you. And it's also not great to be subjected to a light at bedtime before you fall asleep. That's because sleeping with lights on triggers depression. This Dr. John Barron saying letting light touch any part of the body while sleeping activates the pineal gland, and that in turn stops the production of the hormone melatonin. Melatonin works to induce sleepiness. The lack of it interferes with getting deep, restful sleep. So if you have lights on at night, you probably aren't producing enough melatonin to get the restful sleep your body and your mind require. And then it went on to talk about these poor little hamsters. I think I covered that before, where they put them in dim light, and then they were just in a funk, that the hamsters were. And then, of course, when they killed them, they were autopsied. And the researchers found changes had occurred in the hippocampus region of their brains, including an increased expression of a chemical called TNF that's linked to inflammation resulting from injury or infection. So that TNF is linked to inflammation resulting from injury or infection, but it showed up in these hamsters that were not getting enough deep, good sleep. Researchers have found a strong association in people between chronic inflammation and depression. And that's why it is very significant that we found this relationship between dim light at night and increased expression of this TNF. They said if you don't think that what they're talking about with the hamsters doesn't apply to you, he says these results were consistent with what we know about depression in humans. And the results show that playing with your computer late at night or staring at the television just may invite the blues. If you leave the screen on all night and sleep in a room where your computer is, that's double the damage. The study focused on mood and nightlight depression. That's hardly the only worrisome effect that comes with nighttime immersion of light. They talk about an incidence of numerous deadly diseases among people who work a night shift. Operating in light at night and darkness during the day throws off the circadian rhythms triggering biochemical shifts that lead to an increased incidence of cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, ulcers, diabetes, and, yes, depression. And it says, as the news gets worse, as it turns out, these same negative health effects may also result from low levels of nighttime light exposure among people who work normal hours. According to a recent report issued by the American Medical Association, in addition to resetting the circadian pacemaker, light also stimulates additional neuroendocrine and neurobehavioral responses, including suppression of melatonin release from the pineal gland. Low levels of luminance in the blue or white fluorescent spectrum disrupt melatonin secretion. Low levels of luminance in the blue. Now you know why Nikon, when they gave us our new light, made sure that we've got so much of that blue spectrum. That's our vitamin light. That's our healthy light.
Yay.
So we sleep with our sleep mask on so that we're not having any lights bothering us. And another article I read, I don't have it here in front of me, but I took a little test. And it said that waking up with the sun is a very, very healthy for us. And so look how Nathan has that light so that it'll come on. You set that little alarm on that light and it'll come on just like the sun does. So if you have to get up before the sun comes up in the morning, at least that light is coming, you know, is waking you up, and you're thinking that your brain is thinking it's the sun coming up. Well, so if we don't have our sleep mask and we don't have our new Kenko light, those are a couple of things that after just reading these articles, I think everybody needs them. Okay, it's 28 after the hour. Any questions? Anybody have anything they want to add? Good, healthy sleep. Did everybody leave?
The sleep mask really does help me. It helps me a lot.
Yeah, you said just doing that increased your sleep at night.
Just when I have all these things to do and I stay up too late, it's a problem. But it still helps. It still helps because at least I don't wake up. Those lights.
Lights
in the room. The air purifier has a light. The TV or some kind of gadget on there, DVD, has a light. So having the sleep mask just makes so much difference. I know I sleep so much better. I sleep more.
Well, that's the thing is when we're talking about all these sleep things here, these people that are writing these articles, they don't know about our Nikon sleep system that puts us into that healthy environment the way you know, God intended us to be. We're sleeping,
right.
Sleeping with Earth's energy and the sun's energy and our ions. So, the fact is that if you, sure, you're staying up late, but then you're going to bed, you're putting on your mask, you're sleeping in your wonderful sleep system, and that's putting your body into the healthiest environment you possibly could while you're sleeping. And so these guys, I mean, 6 hours of that kind of sleep is probably better than 8.5 hours of the sleep that they're talking about in these studies, because they don't know about our sleep system.
There you go.
Make sense?
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the other ways of preparing yourself, something that I do around here, and that is about an hour before I plan on going to bed, I start dimming the lights in the house. Like if they're on rheostat, I'll cut them down to 50%. Turning off some lights that aren't on rheostat. And just lowering the light level in my house about an hour before I start to go to bed. That seems to help.
Well, yeah, that would, because you're winding down. You're telling your brain it's bedtime. I did see that in looking into all these articles, they said that poor sleep and sleep habits in adolescents will raise their health risks. And it said they showed a clear association in a study that sleep disturbance in adolescents had a greater likelihood of having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and being overweight or obese. You know, and so we think that it's, you know, we've been blaming the video games and all of that onto it. Well, that is probably true, but also it's keeping them from getting, you know, good sleep. Their brain is not slowing down at night. They're on those games on in front of that TV and heading right to bed.
Hey, Mary Lou?
Yes.
One of the things that Kim Dragon taught us a year and a half ago was that Meekin had commissioned a study for whatever reason. They didn't release it, but showed that when a person went to sleep on normally, it takes about an average of 47 to 50 minutes to go to sleep, you know, into the deep sleep. But the average for someone with the Meekin sleep system was 9 minutes.
Wow. And I know that's true.
And so, and then the other thing that he said, that with 5.5 hours of sleep, you only get 3 REM cycles, but if you go to 8 hours of sleep, which is only 2.5 hours more, you get 5. And that's huge, because if you only get 5, that's 3, that's only 6% of the building back of your body during the night. So to me, it's really important to get that extra couple hours of sleep.
Okay, Steve, let me see if I heard you right. It said on sleeping 6 hours, you went through 3 REM cycles?
5.5.
Okay, 5.5 hours, you go through 3 REM cycles, but with 8 hours sleep, you go through 5 REM cycles.
You go through 5. So that's 40% more with only 2.5 extra hours of sleep.
Wow. Okay, good for you. I hadn't caught that. Okay, good.
Mary Lou? This is Nancy. I sleep with a CPAP machine, and my husband does too. But I heard a friend tell about her grandson, who they finally got him on a CPAP, and she said before that he was very, almost to the point of being, agitated and angry and all that. But once they got him on that, they said he's a pleasure to be around. It changed his whole personality because he was not sleeping correctly at night. He had that sleep apnea where he woke up numerous times. Actually, in an hour's time, he woke up 7 times during weightless sleep.
Oh,
70. And I said, oh, that's more than 1 a minute. She had a bad case of it. They said it completely changed his personality and everything about him, because he used to be angry and agitated. And so that sleep makes a big difference. It has really helped me. I just get into such deep sleep, and I think a lot of that is falling asleep with this Meekin system too. But even before that, I fell asleep very quickly within the first 5 or 10 minutes and slept really good. Did a lot of dreaming, and that's when we're in that REM sleep.
Yeah, it's in one of these articles that I read said too that, you know, if you already sleep a lot, or you increase your sleep and you feel more tired, you should talk to your doctor, because they say that there are you may be one of the thousands of people with undiagnosed sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had always thought that my ignorance, I guess, I always thought that sleep apnea, people got sleep apnea because they were overweight and that there was, you know, there was something that was catching in the throat. This was my own ignorance. But there are plenty of people who suffer with sleep apnea that are not overweight. And actually, having sleep apnea, it's just the opposite. That can cause people to gain weight because they're not getting the good sleep. So this was good for me to have to read all of this, as I understand it a lot more. And I certainly know I would never have guessed that you were on a CPAP machine, Nancy. Mm-hmm. But
well, and this is Kathleen. I'm on one too. I've been on it for 4 or 5 years.
My goodness. Yeah.
But that is, we don't really know. I mean, Fred had to tell me that I was holding my breath during the night. But when we went for the sleep study, he held his more often during the night, but my oxygen levels dropped quite a bit more than his. So, see, we're depriving our brain of oxygen.
Well,
isn't that the same?
Well, this is Donna. I also use a CPAP machine. And I hate it. I just can't seem to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love mine. I can put it on, and I have a bad day if I don't have it on. And it's easy for me to adjust to, but I think I woke up 90 times in a minute or something when I was tested.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing all of that, because we definitely know that sleep is just as important. And also, just a little, go ahead.
Oh, this is Kathleen again, who have the sleep apnea, and my bed and my pillow, and it is just incredibly good for my health. I just rest in that. It's just yummy to crawl in there. It just helps me so much.
You know, when I was growing up, I always would, I'd wake up at night gasping for breath. And, you know, that many years ago, I came from a big family. You know, we didn't run to the doctor for just anything. And I remember telling my mom that would happen to me quite a bit, that I'd wake up because I was gasping for breath. And she said, oh, that's not, your dad does that all the time. So it was just like a normal thing. But I did that up until the time, so I never talked about it, but I did that up until the time that I got on the sleep system. Very, very rarely will that ever, you know, ever happen to me anymore. But I wonder if that wasn't sleep apnea.
That's right. It will make you, we traveled some time and the room is not set up with the proper amount of plugs, and so sometimes I just let him have the plugs and I do without. And I mean, it's almost like, like you said, it's cutting off your airway, so it's like a suffocation type thing. But that's what that is when you're holding your breath. The doctors have said that when your heart starts back like that, you take that big, deep breath, that gulp of air, to get it started again. He said that is a tremendous pressure on your heart. So it can eventually, if you don't get on a CPAP machine, that can eventually, you know, cause heart problems, weaken the heart.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, and I heard Mary Lou talk, and you talked too, Donna, just now. This is Kathleen, and I'd been going to emergency room 3 or 4 times before I got the very first mattress pad from Nikan. And when I put that on my bed, I woke up the next morning, and I don't think I had moved, I don't think I had turned, I don't think I'd wrinkled the sheet. And it felt so good to me. And it, I was just equating my, they told me then that I had asthma. And so that's obviously a no-breather, not getting the right breath. And the mattress helped me immensely. And within about 3 or 4 months, I got off my two inhalers I was to take 4 times a day for forever, I guess. And I went down to the pulmonologist and had it proved out that I didn't need them anymore.
Well, that's wonderful. Somebody, too, was just recently, and I can't remember who, somebody was telling me, somebody who uses a CPAP machine told me that they had mixed feelings about getting this mask because they were afraid it would, you know, interfere, but they said it works absolutely wonderful with their machine. They can, you know, it's very comfortable, and they can wear the mask. I don't know who that was, Ken.
That's what I was concerned about, but it works fine.
Okay, you guys. Hey, great conversation this morning. Thank you for speaking up, all of you. And I think we all know the importance of sleep, not just for weight loss, but for just good health. And so I want to thank all of you that are on here this morning, and especially those of you that got up and that shared with all of us. So everybody have a super day, and we'll be here tomorrow with Donna and Karen for Terrific Transparent Tuesday. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Bye-bye.
Good job.
Bye.
Thank you.